Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to pray for us and then I will read it. Father God, we thank you so much that you are not a silent God, but that you have spoken to us in the Bible. We pray that through the reading and the preaching of your word this afternoon, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would all grow in our love and knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Over to Ian.
Thank you, Chloe. Thank you very much. Children, if you're an older junior church and you've got your blue booklets, then I've got a question for you. I think you've got space to write down a question. Here's the question. It's this. When life feels out of control, what two things does the Bible say we need to remember? When life feels out of control, what two things do we need to remember? Now, when I was a young boy, my mum and dad, they used to ask me all sorts of things that I found really tricky and difficult. So I'd be busy climbing a tree. Ian, we need to go to the shops. Going to the shops, Dad? Now? Why? Or I'd be leaving the house to go to school. Ian, you need to take your raincoat with you. Huh? But it's sunny, Mum. Why? Boys and girls, I wonder, do your mum and dad ever do things or ask you to do things and you go, why? Sometimes we can be a bit like that with God. Maybe because of the coronavirus, you're thinking, why can't I see my friends, God? It's not fair. Maybe you're thinking, work a full-time job and homeschool children? Why, God? Ecclesiastes is going to remind us that in a world where lots of people say, why, we need to remember two things. We need to remember God's not in control. Sorry, we're not in control, but God is. We're not in control, but God is. And in verses 2-8, the Bible uses loads of different pictures to tell us that our lives will be full of good times and bad times, happy times and sad times. So verse 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Here are two photos of life in our family coming up on the screen. We're going to see two photos. There's the first one and then the second one. I wonder if you can guess which of those was the happy time and which was the sad time. Happiness is ice cream on holidays. And sadness is a hurt that just won't go away. Sadness is a hurt that won't go away. And then down there in verse 1, do you see how the Bible describes these times? Do you see what it calls them? It calls them seasons. All these times in our life, they're seasons. Like autumn, spring, summer, winter. Now, the thing about seasons is you can't decide when they start and when they finish. So if you've got your clothing, now's the time to get it on, right? If you put on your woolly hat and you get your big thick jacket, and if you went outside to the back garden now and said, I want snow, could you turn summer into winter? No. Or what about if it was in the middle of winter, right? Just after Christmas time. And these aren't my sunglasses. And you put on your sunglasses and you got your flip-flops and you went out into the back garden and you said, I want to sunbathe. Could you turn winter into summer? No. No. We're not in control of the seasons. And Ecclesiastes says it's the same with our lives. We're not in control. When you wake up in the morning, yeah, you can choose what colour socks you want. You can choose whether you want Weetabix or porridge for breakfast. But when it comes to the big things in our lives, Ecclesiastes says, you think you're in control? You're not. We're not in control. And hasn't lockdown showed us that? You've been planning to spend the summer with your friends at school, sports day, but now you can't. You've been planning your career at work, but now, who knows? You see, the world around us, it says, you're in control, seize the day. But Ecclesiastes says, don't be surprised when the day seizes you. How many of you had days when you wake up smiling, but by lunchtime, you're grumpy or you're in tears? Ecclesiastes says, if we want to be wise, we'll remember we're not in control of most of our lives. That's the first point. And here's the second point. We're not in control, but God is. We're not in control, but God is. And in the passage, it tells us four things about God's control, okay? Four things. Here they are. Let me get that out of the way. Here's the first one. God is in control of the hard things. God is in control of the hard things. That's what verse 10 is telling us. Okay, have a look down verse 10. I saw the burden God has given to us. Now, burden just means the hard thing. You see, even in life, even the things that are hard, like not being able to hug our friends when we miss them, God is in control, even of those difficult things. He gave them to us. That's the first thing about God's control. Here's the second thing. God is in control of the confusing things that happen to us. Look at what verse 11 says. Let's have a look at verse 11 there up on the screen. No one can fathom what God has done. Fathom means understand. We just don't understand a lot of what God does, do we? We don't understand it. When my sister died, I couldn't understand why God would allow it. I still don't. But God does. Here's the third thing about God's control. God is in control of our lives from beginning to end. That's what verse 11 carries on to tell us. No one can fathom what God has been doing from beginning to end, but he's in control from beginning to end. He's in control from beginning to end. What have I got here? Here is my birth certificate. God was in control. This is what a sample death certificate looks like. God is in control from birth certificate to death certificate and everything in between. God's in control. When you wake up, he's in control when you fall asleep. He's in control when you're in deep sleep. He's in control from beginning to end. Fourth thing, God's plans for our lives are never messed up. God's plans for our lives are never messed up. You see, verse 14, have a look, see what it says. I know that everything God does will endure. Endure means will last. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. You see, God is so big and so strong that even the big, scary things that happen to us are not big enough or scary enough to mess up God's plans for us. Nothing stops God from being in control, even when we're not. Now, next prop. I grew up in a country called South Africa. Children, I wonder if you know where South Africa is. Here we go. South Africa is all the way down at the bottom of the world over there. I grew down at the very bottom of Africa. And in South Africa, I spent my time playing cricket and riding a red mountain bike with my friend Nikki. And just hung out together. And then one day, my parents sat me down and they said, we're moving to England. So I packed up my cricket bat, I sold my red bike. And I remember the afternoon that Nikki came to my front door to say goodbye forever. He wasn't there long. And then he was gone. And I've never seen him since. And if I'd had the choice, I would have stayed in South Africa, playing cricket, riding my bike with Nikki. But I wasn't in control. My parents were. And I asked my parents why we were moving to England, but I still didn't really understand. The only thing that helped me was being able to hold my dad's hand as we went to the airport. Because even though I didn't understand why we were moving, I knew that mum and dad did. And I knew that as long as they were in charge, however bad things seemed, it would be okay. Over the past few months, you might feel like your world has turned upside down. Maybe it's not coronavirus. Maybe it's something totally different, but it's left you confused and sad, maybe a bit angry, and you're going, why? Why? Well, Ecclesiastes 3 reminds us, we have a God who holds us by the hand. He doesn't promise to answer all our questions. But we do know that if we're with him, we're safe. You do know that when you're with mum and dad, you're safe. If you're with God, you're safe. Because he is in control and nothing can harm his plans for us. And if you ever doubt that, if you ever think, God, are you really in charge? Was the writer of Ecclesiastes really right? What can you do? What can you do? Well, what you can do, I don't know if that's coming out very well. If you can remember the cross, you can remember the cross. I wonder how many of you know this book. It's called Guess How Much I Love You. I think some of us have read it. Some of us have read it a lot. And in Guess How Much I Love You, little nut brown hair keeps asking big nut brown hair how much he loves him. Eventually, big nut brown hair says, I love you right up to the moon and back. And that is a lot of love, isn't it? Well, what about God's love? How much does God love you? And the answer is from heaven all the way to the cross. So next time life turns upside down and you're asking God, why? Will you remember the God who is in control, who holds you by the hand like my dad held me by the hand when we were leaving South Africa? The God who came all the way from heaven down to the cross. The God who loves you to death. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder that we really are not in control. We thank you for the times you show us that very clearly, even if it's scary. But we thank you that you are in control of everything. Nothing can mess up your plans. You have us by the hand. You will look after us. You will keep us safe. Thank you that that helps us when we're scared. Amen. Over to Ellie.
Ian, thanks as well for joining us for some questions. A couple of questions here. So is knowing this truth that God is in control and having faith in God's plan, like a muscle we can make stronger, or are we not in control of that either?
What a great question. I think it's something we have control over. It's trust. You learn to trust people by trusting them with small things and then big things. So, for example, if I ask my children to go and get a box of ice creams from the freezer and only to eat one, if they do that and only eat one ice cream rather than several, then I think, I can trust them. They do know what they're doing. And I'm going to give them something else, something slightly bigger to see if I can trust them. And I think it's a bit like that with God. As we trust God and see that he is in control, we think, do you remember last time life was difficult and he was good to me? I'm going to remember him the next time. So I think we can practice our trust of God. But here's the thing, whether we trust him or not doesn't change the fact that he's still in control.
Someone else asked, not being in control is terrifying for me. Cognitively, I know that I need to trust God more, but I'm still working on it. I hope I'm not the only one. You got any? Is that your experience?
I think it's very hard. And how do we do it? How do we help ourselves? I think we can remind ourselves we never really were in control of the very big things. To try and remind ourselves of that, that it's not something that's gone wrong. It's just always been the case. When we thought we were in control, we're not. We're just deluding ourselves. I'm going to have a think about that one. if that's okay.
I wonder if what you just said is helpful on that as well. Whether practice in small steps, trusting God. It is scary putting your faith in something that you've not put your faith in before. You know, sitting on a chair, you don't know if it's going to hold you up. But if you sat on it before, then you might be quicker to sit on it again. So just little steps to putting our trust in God, exercising that muscle, as you said a second ago.
The ultimate proof that he's in control, I think, is the cross. So if you're ever in doubt, look at that and go, wow, he does know what he's doing. So I can trust. That's the big thing. If I can trust him with the big thing, I can begin to trust him with the small things.
Ian, thank you so much. And when we're feeling scared of trusting God, when we are grateful for him being in control, either way, we can pray to him, cry out to him, thank him. And Chloe and Katie are going to lead us in prayer now.